Ekatra Podcast Conversations, for the curious essential knowledge, simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekatra AI. Welcome to the deep dive.
Today we're getting into something that, well, it takes up a huge chunk of our lives. Work.
It really does. We define ourselves by it, worry about it, sometimes dream of escaping it.
Exactly. But how often do we actually pause and, you know, interrogate what work really is?
That's a huge blind spot, isn't it? We tend to think of it in pretty simple terms, like you trade your time for a paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
But our guide today, Stephen Fineman, in his really essential book, Work, argues that view is, well, it's not just incomplete, it's actually kind of dangerously simplistic.
Right. He sets the stage for a much more critical look. Fineman shows work is way more than just a job title.
Yeah, it's this deeply complex, very human experience. It shapes our identity, our health, our bodies, our minds, and all our social connections, too. So that's our mission for this deep dive. We're following Fineman's lead. We want to try and answer that big question, what is work, the lived reality of it, when you strip away all the business talk and look at the, you know, the emotional and physical side?
We're really coming at it from a critical, humanistic angle.
And the person leading us through this is, well, he's perfectly suited for it. Stephen Fineman. He's not some management guru with quick fixes.
No, not at all. He's professor emeritus of organizational behavior at the University of Bath. His whole academic career has been right at that intersection where psychology, sociology, and management studies meet.
And what makes his perspective so unique and why this book, Work, is so important is his focus, really his career-long focus, on the emotional reality inside organizations.
He was looking at feelings way before it was trendy, you could say, when others were all about logic and efficiency.
Uh-huh.
Fineman was doing this pioneering research showing that feelings, things like anxiety, envy, joy, even shame, they aren't just like side issues or distractions at work.
He argues they're absolutely central.
Exactly. He sees emotion as vital information and part of the power dynamics, too. He's a critical social scientist, really looking deep into the subjective stuff, the affective side of work.
Which is maybe a fancy way of saying he looks at the deep personal emotional stuff that happens to you every day on the job.
Precisely. And that approach makes the book incredibly powerful. Its main goal is really to challenge almost every assumption we carry about our jobs.
It's not giving you a five-step plan to happiness or anything.
No, but it does give you this critical toolkit, this framework, to understand why your job feels the way it does.
And the scope is pretty ambitious. It takes us on this historical journey.
Yeah, tracing how the meaning of work has changed from being seen as like a divine curse in ancient times,
right,
to becoming a moral calling with the Protestant work ethic.
Yeah.
And then finally into this really complicated modern thing, a source of identity, sure, but also deep alienation.
And he connects those big historical ideas right down to our personal reality today.
Mm.
He covers the physical cost, the working body, the psychological demands, the working mind, power structures, especially around gender. And crucially, he doesn't shy away from the dark side, stress, boredom, that feeling of meaninglessness.
He really demands we take a holistic view, look past the job title, look past the salary, and see the full human experience, warts and all.
So let's start maybe with that historical view he lays out. How did we get here?
Well, he starts by contrasting those ancient views, you know, where physical labor was often just for enslaved people, with the later Judeo-Christian idea of work as maybe a punishment or a spiritual discipline.
But the really big shift, the one that still shapes us, is the Protestant work ethic, right? The Max Weber idea.
Absolutely. That ideology completely flipped the script. Work wasn't just necessary or a curse anymore. It became a moral calling.
So doing well at your job meant you were virtuous.
Essentially, yes. Professional success got tied up with spiritual goodness. That laid the cultural bedrock for modern capitalism. Hard work equals good person.
But then, almost immediately, you get this shadow cast by Karl Marx, the concept of alienation. And Fineman argues this is still incredibly relevant.
Hugely relevant. Alienation isn't just, you know, hating your boss or having a bad day. It's much deeper.
What does it mean technically?
It's that disconnection the worker feels. Disconnected from the thing they're making, from the actual process of creating it, from their own creative potential, their human self, and even from their coworkers, their community.
Wow. So that sets up this core tension we all live with now.
Exactly. Work is where we're told to find our purpose and identity. That's the Weber legacy. But it's also the place where we can feel exploited and dehumanized. That's the Marxist legacy.
Which explains why a job can feel amazing one day and absolute soul-crushing the next, often in the same week.
Absolutely. It's that inherent contradiction.
Okay, so moving from the historical and mental load, what about the physical side? Feynman talks about working bodies. What's the core argument there?
He makes this really powerful point that work is fundamentally an embodied activity. We experience it in our bodies.
It sounds obvious, but management theory often ignores that.
Completely. It's a direct critique of how theories often treat employees like we're just disembodied minds or, human resources, interchangeable parts.
The physical toll is clear in manual labor, obviously.
Yes, but Feynman stresses how all bodies are disciplined and controlled at work, even in office jobs. Think about the subtle stuff, like mandatory appearances, dress codes, uniforms.
Even just having to sit in a specific chair for 8 hours.
Right. The organization is constantly regulating your physical presence, controlling your body in often subtle ways.
And that leads right into this concept that really struck me.
Yeah.
Emotional labor, building on Arlie Hochschild's work.
Ah, yes, emotional labor. That's a huge contribution. It's the work of managing your own feelings to display the emotion the job requires.
So you have to put on a certain face, regardless of how you actually feel inside.
Precisely. The organization is essentially paying you to perform certain emotions. The classic example is the flight attendant who has to be calm and friendly, even dealing with a difficult passenger or feeling exhausted. Or the call center worker who needs to sound empathetic call after call.
It's like your feelings become a commodity, a tool for the company.
That's a great way to put it. And that feeling of exhaustion you get after a day of dealing with people isn't just being tired. Feynman and Hochschild argue it's deep emotional depletion. It is work, and it takes a toll.
That idea of the self becoming a tool, that links to the Working Minds chapter, doesn't it? Where he talks about the search for meaning and identity through work.
Exactly. How often, when someone asks, "Who are you?" or "What do you do?" the answer is your job title. Our work becomes central to our identity.
Which makes us vulnerable, right? If that identity is tied to a job that might not be secure.
Immensely vulnerable. It leads to huge anxiety, even crisis, when employment is shaky or disappears, which, let's face it, is increasingly common.
And that insecurity, that breaking of expectations, really hits the psychological contract.
That unwritten set of expectations, the implicit agreement between you and your employer about what you each owe the other. Loyalty, fair treatment, security.
Things that aren't usually in the written contract.
Exactly. And when an employer breaks that trust through layoffs, restructuring, broken promises, the impact is profound. It's not just financial.
It feels like a betrayal.
Deep cynicism and a sense of moral injury, it really damages the relationship.
And looking beyond the individual experience, Feynman also connects work structures to broader issues of power and fairness. He has a whole section on the gendering of work.
Yes, this is crucial. He traces how the historical public-private divide, men in the paid public sphere, women in the unpaid private domestic sphere, still shapes work today.
Not so.
Well, it leads to ongoing occupational segregation. You still see fields dominated by one gender or another. Think nursing versus engineering.
And crucially, the caring professions, often female-dominated, tend to be undervalued.
Systematically undervalued. Jobs like nursing, teaching, social work. They require incredible levels of skill, especially emotional labor, right? But they're consistently paid less than many male-dominated fields, even when the skill levels seem comparable. That history casts a long shadow.
So if you put all these pieces together, the alienation, the physical control, the emotional labor, the broken contracts, the inequality, it brings us to what Feynman calls the dark side of work.
Right. And his key argument here is that these negative things, stress, burnout, bullying, harassment, that feeling of meaninglessness, they shouldn't be seen as isolated problems or like glitches in an otherwise healthy system.
He's saying they're not just bad apples.
Exactly. He argues, quite provocatively, that the dark side is often a predictable, even functional outcome. It's a systemic feature of a setup that prioritizes profit and output over human well-being.
So things like intense job insecurity, the precariousness of the gig economy, those are features, not bugs.
That's his argument. They are consequences, often predictable consequences, of how we've organized work, especially under certain forms of capitalism.
And that feeling of pointlessness, the bullshit job idea that David Graeber wrote about.
Feynman definitely engages with that. That feeling some people have, maybe many people, that their job doesn't actually contribute anything meaningful. Maybe even the employee knows it's pointless. Feynman validates that feeling as a source of real psychological harm embedded within the system.
Wow. Okay, so if these harms are systemic, that's quite a diagnosis. What does that mean for us? What are the main takeaways Feynman wants us to grasp?
Well, that leads us nicely into the key themes. The first big one is that work is socially and historically constructed. It wasn't always like this.
Meaning our current obsession with finding our entire identity and self-worth through our job is relatively new.
Pretty recent in the grand scheme of things, yes. And knowing that is empowering. It means the way work is organized isn't inevitable. It was created, and it can be changed. We can question why things are the way they are.
Okay, that makes sense. What's the second theme?
The duality of work, a source of both meaning and misery. Feynman really captures this paradox.
How it can give us purpose and community, but also drain us and make us feel awful.
Exactly. It contains both possibilities. Understanding that tension is key to navigating it.
And the third theme ties back to our earlier point.
Yes, emotional labor is real work that deserves recognition. Acknowledging that managing feelings is labor, it uses energy, it has costs, that's crucial.
Both for individuals, maybe to protect themselves from burnout, and for organizations.
Definitely. If a job requires high emotional labor, that needs to be recognized, supported, and compensated appropriately.
And the final big theme.
It's about the inadequacy of a purely economic lens. If we only measure work by dollars and productivity numbers,
We miss huge parts of the picture.
we miss almost all the value generated by unpaid caregiving, domestic work, and even the emotional management that holds families and communities together. Stuff that's essential for society, but invisible to standard economics.
The book sounds like it's full of really challenging ideas. Are there some specific quotes or core messages that stand out?
Oh, absolutely. Feynman phrases things very powerfully. We can maybe share a few key ideas that really capture his perspective.
Okay, how about this one, summarizing the identity piece? Work is far more than a simple economic exchange. It is the primary stage upon which we construct and perform our identities, often at great personal cost to our bodies and minds.
That really reframes it, doesn't it? Not just a transaction, but this fundamental, costly human drama.
Yeah. And what about the systemic problems?
This one hits hard. The dark side of work should not be seen as an unfortunate malfunction of an otherwise healthy system, but as a predictable and often functional outcome of a system prioritizing profit over people.
Wow. That really shifts the focus from blaming individuals to looking at the structure itself.
It does. It forces a different kind of conversation.
There may be one more, thinking about emotions at work.
How about this? When we ask employees to leave their emotions at the door, we are asking them to leave their humanity behind and with it, their creativity, passion, and full engagement.
So trying to suppress emotion is actually counterproductive.
According to Feynman, yes. You can't compartmentalize a human being like that and expect them to bring their best selves to work.
Okay, so these are powerful ideas. How might we actually apply some of this in our own lives or even in organizations?
Well, for us as individuals, maybe the biggest thing is developing that critical self-awareness. Feynman validates those feelings, the stress, the alienation, the exhaustion from emotional labor.
It's not just you being weak or failing.
No, he frames them as understandable, even common responses to systemic pressures. Knowing that can be incredibly liberating. It's not necessarily a personal flaw.
And that knowledge could help with boundaries, maybe, especially around emotional labor.
Exactly. If you recognize, say, in a service job, that you are literally being paid to perform friendliness, you can create a bit of distance. This professional persona isn't all of you.
That sounds like a way to protect your authentic self,
Yeah.
maybe buffer against burnout.
It can help, yes. And for managers or leaders in organizations, the takeaway isn't just more wellness programs, though those might help.
What is it then?
It's about designing work with humanity in mind, seeing employees as whole people. Acknowledging the emotional reality of the workplace, supporting well-being genuinely, not just paying lip service.
Maybe focusing less purely on the numbers and more on the human experience.
Precisely. Thinking about things like autonomy, support, managing emotional demands, embedding that into how work is structured.
So, wrapping up, what was the most striking thing for you from this deep dive into Feynman's work?
For me, it's really that forced paradigm shift, moving away from constantly asking, how do we make workers more productive?
And instead asking.
Instead asking, how can we make work more humane? It changes the entire conversation.
Yeah, I felt that too. My big takeaway is just how deeply the way we organize work impacts everything: our identity, our physical health, our mental well-being, social fairness.
The emotional and physical stuff isn't secondary. It's not fluff.
It's the absolute core of the experience.
And Feynman suggests the future really requires more emotional sophistication from individuals and organizations alike. We need to get smarter about the human side of work.
It's definitely a book that gives you a powerful lens to understand, maybe even question, the daily grind and its real costs. A lot to think about.
Indeed.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekatra Foundation.